Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. In the love of God and the peace of Jesus Christ and the community of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you all this morning. We want to just take a moment and wish every fellow that's joining us either online or here in the sanctuary, happy Father's Day. And we just pray today will be a wonderful day with you and your family, full of a lot of food, because we all know that the way to a man's heart is through his belly. So anyway, hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful day. Also wanted to remind you, there's a bulletin insert. And if you look in there, we are having a celebration for Joan next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And the church is going to be providing meat and drinks and dessert. But we need to know how many to prepare for. So if you don't mind to take that and fill it out, and RSVP, there are baskets at both of the sanctuary entrances, and you can just let us know how many will be attending from your family. We also want to invite you to bring a side with you to share, and we are going to have a wonderful time celebrating Joan and her ministry, wherever she is. She's escaped from... Oh! Well, I tell you what, you're a snake, you would have bitten me. I tell you what, you know, Julie always makes fun of me for like looking in the refrigerator and not being able to find things. Now you know why. Anyway, well, now you know I'm a fool for sure. Oh, gosh. Anyway, I'm going to apologize to Joan, and I'm going to invite you to stay and greet one another in the peace of Christ. I'm sorry, Joan. All right, I'm going to try and do better now from the rest of the service on. Let's join together and pray. Almighty God, you make our hearts dance, and you fill us with such joy. And today we come from a very busy week, I am sure, full of family, full of preparations, full of work, full of the stresses of life and family. And we come into this place, into the wonderful quiet of your peace. And we pray that all that we carry in would melt away for just a moment, so that all that we do, all that we say, all that we pray, all that we sing will just be about you and our thanksgiving and love for you. Lord, we know that your Spirit is here and with us in this place. And we pray that your Spirit will move in our hearts today, that we get a taste of your goodness and your grace. This is our holy prayer. lifted to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Be still and know that. We feel abandoned and alone, unable to find a way out of the wilderness that surrounds us. We cry out to God. When we feel lost and forgotten, unable to find the words for the grief, isolation, and despair that we feel, our hearts cry out to God.
And God pays attention to us. Be still and know that I am.
As we gather in this place and time, remember, you are not alone. God knows where you are, and God listens to the cries of our hearts.
We continue to honor and glorify God. And by the way, your voices just did that. Let us recite with a creed that is spoken around the world. Let us continue to give God our praise and adoration. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to God.
You may be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Hannah.
Good morning, everybody. Happy summer. Are you having a good summer so far? Yes. You all look so rested and tan and happy. Do you wish that you were back in school?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll give it another month, okay? All right, I have a question for you. Do you guys like to play hide and seek?
Yeah.
Do you like to be the hider or the seeker?
Hider.
The hider. It's more fun to hide. You like to be the seeker? Okay. Have you ever, when you're playing a game with friends, have you ever felt left out? Or maybe, like, have you ever felt that nobody noticed you? Yeah, that's not a very good feeling, is it? Well, today we're going to learn about a story.
In hide and seek, it would be a good thing.
It would be a good thing if nobody noticed you in hide and seek, is what he said. That is true. Today we're going to learn about a story in the Bible about a boy named Ishmael and his mother Hagar. And they felt alone, scared, forgotten, kind of like sometimes we can feel. But they discovered something very important, and that is that God saw them the entire time. Even when they didn't feel like anyone was surrounding them, God was with them. So I have a volunteer over here. I'm going to cover her up like this. Now, who's under that blanket? It's not Ivy, actually. This is Ivy. Twin problems. Who's under the blanket?
Alice.
Can you see her?
Yeah.
How do you know she's under there? You saw us cover her up. That's exactly right. You know, sometimes our lives can feel kind of dark, like it is under this blanket, and scary, but we may think that nobody can see us. But you know who can always see us during those dark and scary times? God can see us. God can see us. Okay. God didn't just see Ishmael and his mother Hagar. He actually gave them exactly what they needed, which was some
water.
We all need water, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you more about this story in the Bible. This story comes from the book of Genesis. Is Genesis at the beginning or the end of the Bible?
Beginning.
The beginning. What are the first few books? Let's show off here. Ready? Here we go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. One day we're going to show you guys that we know all the books of the Bible, but I don't think we have time for that today. All right, so in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, Abraham had a son named Isaac. Say Isaac. He also had a son named Ishmael. Can you say Ishmael? Okay, so one day Abraham's wife Sarah told Abraham that Hagar and Ishmael, they had to leave. Say, go away. And Abraham, he was sad about that, okay? But God promised that he would take care of his son Ishmael. He said, I promise. Can you say that? I promise. Okay, so Abraham gave Hagar some food and water, and then she and her son Ishmael, they went out into the desert. What's the desert like?
Hot.
It's hot. Are there a lot of trees for shade?
No.
And guess what they ran out of, Manny? They ran out of water. And Hagar became very afraid, and she was sad, and she put her son Ishmael under like a bush to try and get some shade because he was crying, and she didn't want to have to watch him suffer, so she put him over there. And then guess what? God heard Ishmael crying, and an angel of God came to Hagar and said, don't be afraid. God has heard Ishmael crying and helped Hagar to find water nearby from a well. Have you ever seen a well of water? You dip down and you can fill up your bottles of water. So God stayed with Hagar and with Ishmael as he grew up, and he was always with them. So even when there are really scary times, does God see us? Does he know how to help us? What if we're really lonely? What if we feel like our friends don't understand us? Who can always see us? God always sees us. So I hope you remember, just like God was always with Ishmael and Hagar, God will always be with us too. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you always see us. Even when we're happy and we're sad, we're scared or lonely, God, you are always with us. And we know that you care for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go upstairs.
Well, happy Father's Day, everyone. Many of you have very kindly told me Happy Father's Day, and I'll tell you about the third time I kind of believed it. I think I'm still very new to being a father, and the first couple times I was like, huh, why are they telling me Happy? Oh, yeah, I'm at, yeah. And I think there are many things in life like that, to be honest with you, where maybe it's just me, but I think I had felt like by the time I was a father, I would somehow be different. I would somehow be more mature or have things more figured out. And along came Nora, and I'm still me. And yet we are so thankful, are we not, for our merciful God, who is the example of what paternal love looks like. And thankfully, we don't have to walk that road alone. And so we want to honor fathers through this litany, but also recognize all of our need for that paternal and maternal love that comes from God, and recognize that God is the model for such things, regardless of what models we inherited. Let's pray together. On this day, we recognize our fathers and our stepfathers, those who have nurtured and guided us in our lives. We thank you, O God, for those who have been fathers to us. We honor our grandfathers, our uncles and brothers, those who have demonstrated love and care to us in our lives. We thank you, O God, for those who have been like fathers to us. We appreciate our teachers, leaders, and pastors who have been both male and female, but we especially honor those who have extended fatherly tenderness and love in our lives, in our past and present. We thank you, O God, for those who have fulfilled a fatherly role in our lives. Loving God, you have been both mother and father to us. Abba, Father, we remember how Jesus called out to you on earth, recognizing that you are closer to us than our earthly parents. Your love and care for us are felt in the ways that we are loved and cared for by others. We thank you for all of the male figures in our lives who have shared your love with us. We ask that you guide and nurture new fathers and fathers-to-be. We seek your forgiveness for fathers who have fallen short, for models of fatherhood that were limiting rather than embracing, for that is not your model. You are our ever-loving parent, father of us all. Grant your wisdom to all fathers and fatherly figures to love their children as you have loved your children. We thank you, O God, for fatherhood and motherhood, for the blessing of parents in our lives. Abba, Father, we pray with those who are mourning the loss of fathers today, and for those whose fathers were absent or abusive, ease their pain on this day, loving God. May they know your embrace and that you are more than father or mother to us. You are the all-loving, all-caring parent, creator of heaven and earth, who knows the hairs on our heads. We thank you, O God, that you are always with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for this day and ask that you bless all of your children with your love as a wonderful father loves his child. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with
thy
spirit.
Let us pray. Oh God, we come to say thank you. You have been such a strong part of our lives, giving us strength when we were minus strength, giving us hope when it was as though there was no hope, backing us up with faith, filling our heart with love when we were almost out. So many ways, oh God, you have been there for us, strengthening us, giving us your love, and giving us your hope. Jesus said we could call you our Father, and we are grateful for that. It is though you have been an heavenly parent, watching over us, loving us, caring for us, and providing for us, and also giving to us the requirements, the rules, the things that we needed to follow in order to be safe and sound and to have good lives. We cannot say thank you enough, O God, for your presence is always here with us, even as we leave this place. And as we call you, Father, we are mindfully aware of all of our siblings that are here together this day, how we appreciate them, what they have meant to us, how they have touched our lives and encouraged us. We are so grateful for them, O God, and thankful to you for pulling us all together in this place. We have those in our congregation who are dealing with health issues. We pray for your healing hand to take place. So many times we have watched your healing hand bring about change and healing, and we're grateful, and we ask that you be that for these people. Others are dealing with family issues, monetary issues, so many different things that we come together this day, and there are those who are lifting their concerns up to you even at this time. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. Let them hear your word. Speak to them with that still small voice that can have such powerful meaning in each of our lives, and be with them and hold them. And we lift up our nation, our world. We are individuals. We can't do hardly anything, but we can be your people, and we will seek to be your people. We make that promise to you this day that we will seek to speak your word, to share your love, to be the folk who touch and try to make of this a better world. And we will continue to pray for all those who have had such difficult lives to this point in time. Lord, we ask that you make us your instruments of peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And we pray the prayer which Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our ushers are invited to come forward to receive this morning offering.
from the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance, and they wouldn't follow me. I danced from the fishermen for James and John. They came with me, and the dance went on. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, me, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, me. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high,
and they left me there on the cross to die.
Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dancing, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dancing.
On a Friday when the sky turned black, it's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone.
But I am the dance and I still go on. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dancing bee, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dancing bee.
Almighty God, pour out your dancing heart upon us on this morning. Lord, bless us and give us all of the grace that we need to serve in your kingdom, and bless these tithes and offerings for your kingdom and the work that we do on your behalf. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson comes from Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. And by the way, mine won't be as entertaining as Hannah's was with the children. When Isaac grew up and was about to be weaned, Abraham prepared a huge feast to celebrate the occasion. But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar making fun of her son Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son. He is not going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac. I won't have it." That upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son. But God told Abraham, "Do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. But I will also make a nation of the descendants of Hagar's son, because he is your son too. So Abraham got up early the next morning, prepared food and a container of water, and strapped them on Hagar's shoulders. Then he sent her away with her son, and she wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water was gone, she put the boy in the shade of a bush. Then she went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. "I don't want to watch the boy die," she said as she burst into tears. But God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven, "Hagar, what's wrong?" "Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants." Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well full of water. She quickly filled her water container and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up in the wilderness. He became a skillful archer, and he settled in the wilderness of Paran. His mother arranged for him to marry a woman from the land of Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I am so thankful for passages like this that are in our Holy Scripture. And the reason why is because it doesn't hide from struggles. And the opportunity really is there in passages like this to touch us in really tender moments and for God to really show and demonstrate who he is in these very tender passages, especially about families. This is a very amazing story, but it also touches the heart as well, because it just gets down into the grief of the moment, and nothing is hidden from us, from this holy family that we hold so high. It's the family that God made this amazing covenant that blesses us to this day. This is a moment of joy for Abraham's family because Isaac is weaned. This probably would have happened when he was around 3 years old in that culture. And this was an important moment in the life of a child because they didn't have the physicians and the medicine that we have nowadays. And so if a child could make it to 3 years old and be weaned, that was really good news for the child. They had escaped a lot of the illness that infants would have or could have succumbed to in that time. So this was a great celebration, really, really wonderful. And laughter of two little boys playing curdled the moment. See, Ishmael would have been about 15 by this time, and he was playing with his younger brother, Isaac, and they were having fun and doing all of the sorts of things that boys do. And Sarah is seeing all of this go down, and there's something that just erupts in her heart, and it's not beautiful. And so she lets the jealousy just pour out. And she goes and talks to Abraham about it. She wants Hagar and Ishmael out of the house. She really wants this divorce of this family. And can you imagine how difficult that would be? Now, last week we said, of course, that God saw Sarah and loved her and loved Abraham. So there is this abiding and wondrous love that is over all of this family, Hagar and Ishmael included. But still, they are struggling. Abraham, on his part, he really is furious. He is like raising my voice and yelling from the tent, kind of furious. There were words that were spoken. He is not happy because he very much views Ishmael as his son. And you're wanting me to send them away? What are you talking about, Sarah? And they surely would have had a pretty good argument about this. And then we have Hagar, who is a woman who, when you think about it, for the last 16 years or so, has not had much agency in this family at all. She's not had a lot of opportunity or chance to say yes or no. She's just been told what to do, and she's done it. And now, Sarah wants her away and gone. And here is Ishmael, of course, a teenage boy, and he's caught in an adult situation. Nothing is airbrushed, is it? Oh, it touches at our hearts, doesn't it? And I would imagine all of us feel in some way or another that tinge of pain, that stories like this, they emote from us because of our own real households. But here is the wonderful news. This today is a day where we reflect upon the nature of God and his love. And one of the things that I would want you to hear, maybe more than anything else today, is that God is not afraid of our households, no matter how messy they can be. And again, this reveals something about God's nature and how he is and how he works with people and how he loves people, even when they are in great disagreement with one another. And so Sarah wants Ishmael gone, Hagar gone. Abraham is furious, and God intervenes because he loves these people dearly. This story reminds me of probably one of the great movies that has come out in my lifetime that I think I've talked about once before, and forgive me for the point of personal privilege, but I just have to name it, Clark Griswold's Family at Christmas time. And I'm sitting here and I'm reading this and it's like, boy, oh boy, here's Clark Griswold and he wants the perfect Christmas time with all of his family all gathered together. He has these images in his mind and in his heart about what the perfect Griswold family Christmas is going to be. And he invites Ellen's family and Ellen's parents in, and his parents are in, and his parents and her parents, they can't stand one another, and they're always, rah, rah, you know, you've seen the movie, right? They're all crammed under one roof, and they're all grousing at one another, and they're bickering nonstop, and then Cousin Eddie shows up, and it's just stirs the pot even more, and poor Clark, he's holding his little moose Christmas cup, drinking his eggnog, and he just doesn't know what to do. Then they sit down at the table, and they start cutting that turkey. And boy, oh boy, never has turkey jerky been more of a real word than in that moment. And Clark is forcing everybody to sit down and enjoy the moment with sheer willpower. Surely, you can get everybody together and have a good old time. Make harmony happen. And then, boom, the dog throws up underneath the table. You know, Clark and Sarah are kind of similar. They both like to try and use human ingenuity to try and come up with a plan for different things, for having children, for making sure that the family gets together, for making sure that the promises of God are kept. And it all backfires because of human ingenuity. But here's the thing about it. And this is so, so important. This is the grace, I think, for us today is that God acts differently in these sorts of in these sorts of situations than human beings would. And I think that's wonderful. Because God, I know, excuse me, God doesn't, let me see if I can get myself back together here. I love the fact that God acts differently. And yes, there's ruptures in the family. But he doesn't endorse the ruptures. But he does meet this family and all of the brokenness that they can't undo. He goes there. And he cares for them and protects them. God will take care of a family and all of them who are in it. Even though they can't live together anymore. And I think that's wondrous, don't you? God will love and will take care of this family, and they can't live together anymore, but he's going to make a way, and he's going to take care of them. Hagar and Ishmael, they go out into the wilderness of Beersheba. They really get into a situation that becomes extremely dire. There's no water. And she sets her son down underneath of a bush in the heat of the day. And she goes about a bow shot away. Oh, thank you. You are awesome. You're wonderful. I really am sorry. It's been one of those weeks with the heat that my lungs have just not been really good. So they're out in the desert. Hagar puts her child underneath of a bush. She cannot stand to watch her child die, very much like a mother would have that. Any of us would. They're dying. She goes about a bow shot away, the scripture says, and she starts to cry. And I love this moment because God sees her and sees Ishmael. Do you remember last week what Hagar named God? El Roi, yeah. The God who sees me. And it's not just the God who sees, it's the God who sees me, sees my circumstances, sees all that's going on in my life, sees me in the desert with my child who is dying over there, sees the injustice of what's happened and the fracture of this family. The God who sees. God sees her and then blesses her and opens her eyes so that she can see and shows her a well and says, here, I'll take care of you and you will be taken care of. And Ishmael, yeah, a great nation will come from him too. And he will be a great archer. That's the bow length away. Isn't that interesting how that happened? Brothers and sisters, this is the heart of God being shown for us on pure display and full display. I love it. You know, a lot of times I think that we think about God in kind of a way that divides his character up. And I'm not really comfortable with the way that we sometimes can think about God. We think about, well, God was the God of the Old Testament, and then God changed a little bit. And we see a new and different God in the New Testament. And may I just say that, can you see how God is acting in a very New Testament way with his family? You remember, we have said, and Parker have said, if you want to see who God is and what his personality is like, well, just look at Jesus. Well, the eternal Word was there with the Father and the Spirit when all of this was going on with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and all of this stuff, all of this fracturing. And we see Jesus' heart. We see the Word's heart acting here. Parker and I will talk a lot more about that in the podcast, but here is Jesus acting in wondrous and beautiful ways. This is how God makes himself known to us. It happened, too, in the New Testament. Here's just one example out of many. You remember how Jesus was going up north and he decided that he was going to travel to Samaria. Now, this was a very unusual thing for a Jewish person to do because they would often travel around Samaria. But he went to Samaria and he met a woman at a well. Sound familiar, huh? And Jesus saw her. And saw her for all of the things that were going on in her life and the difficulties in her life and the fractures of family in her life. But he saw her and blessed her. And she went away from that interaction, seeing more deeply because of that, going around and saying, look, I met a guy who knows me, who sees me and is well aware of all of my faults and all of that, and yet I'm blessed. This is our God. And I'm so relieved that we don't have to airbrush our lives or our families' lives or the difficulties that we have as families sometimes, some of them long-standing, because God takes care of families that can't always live together anymore. Now, I will say it's very important, I think this is a pastoral note, to say, you know, there are some times when reconciliation shouldn't happen because of abuse or crimes. On this side of heaven, we have to have boundaries. But God cares for those who even we're estranged from. God intervenes for those whom he loves. The promises that were made to Abraham have filtered through the generations, and they touch you today. The promise wasn't just to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. It wasn't just for that lineage. Do you remember what he said? I will bless all of the nations of the world through you. And we see that beautifully in John 3:16, where the word is given to the world to bless us all. And he gives himself freely, no matter what? Airbrushed or not, where we can pull our hearts close to him and follow him as a disciple and be cared for. This is our God. The God who sees, the God who hears, and the God who always loves. The word of the Lord. I want to invite you to stand for our closing hymn, hymn 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, I pray that as you go from this place and as you join with your families for dinner or to celebrate in other ways, that whatever your family might look like, God's great faithfulness to you and your family. May his peace settle deeply in your heart. May he show you and let you see the fountains of life that he has opened up for you and your family. May he hold you close to him, just as he holds all of your family close. May you have peace because of these things. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.